It's an incredible honor to be able to speak to you today. I came to Kokomo with my family over a year ago, and Huddle was one of the first places where God really ministered to me and where God blessed me and gave me a new family. I came from Italy, which is not right around the corner. And after years of ministry and just going through a big change in our lives, so it was so important for God to show up and show us His love, and He used Huddle in a great way. So I'm very honored to be able to serve God with this group here this morning. As I mentioned, I come from Italy, and you might even detect a little bit of an accent or a word that will come out a little bit different once in a while. But when I first came to the States, being an MK in Italy, a missionary kid, came to the States, and one of the things that I really struggled with was slang and just being able to understand what certain things meant. If you came with me back in 1980 when I went to college and said, what's up? I probably would have looked up and tried to figure out what was going on up above us. You know, maybe it was a warning, maybe it was a problem. But the most traumatic of these experiences was one day when I pulled all of my courage together to go up to a girl. Now, dating was not done in Italy like you do it over here. And so when I went to college, I realized that it was a good thing to go out with girls, and Saturday was usually the day to do it, and concerts and activities like that. And so I started looking around, and I saw this girl in one of the general classes. It was a pretty big auditorium. But I could see this girl, and I liked her. She was really cute. So I said, this could be a victim. I had to really put a lot of effort into it because I was very new at this. And I finally, after a lot of reflection, I don't think that I was praying a whole lot in those days, I went up to her after a class. And with a little bit of a dry mouth and a lot of emotion, I said, "Hi, I'm Steve Standridge. Would you go out with me?" And she said, "No." Now that didn't sound like slang. It was pretty clear. N-O sounded like a negative response. And I was very confused, and I just stood there, and then she said something else. She said, "But I'll take a rain check." What in the world does the weather have to do now with what's going on here? I'm sweating, and I'm really frustrated, half depressed, and you're talking about rain, and yeah, possibly that was a good way to describe how I felt, but, you know, a rain check. I looked at her and probably said goodbye. I don't know if I even said anything. I went back to my dorm, and I went to my roommate, who sometimes coached me in not the best of ways, but he told me to say things, other slangs that I didn't know what I was doing. But anyway, that day I asked him, you know, what does rain check mean? And he said, rain check is not bad. It means that she'll go out with you some other time. I said, okay. I never asked her again. That was, I was too traumatized by then, and that was that. But what I would like to do this morning is to take a time to take a rain check. You see that in your notes, spelled differently, but a rain check. And let's talk about God's kingdom this morning. And I would like for you to start in your empty space there on your notes and write, put down a circle, if you can do a circle there. There's no clocks in here, huh? What? Oh, okay. It's pretty tiny. I have to be done at 12:30 or 35? 35? I'm Italian, so that doesn't mean much. But anyway, 35. Did you draw the circle in your notes? Okay, that represents the kingdom of God. Now I would like to take your pen and have you represent you in relation to that kingdom. Are you inside or outside of that kingdom? Are you fairly close? You have a lot of information. You feel you might be here even today because God wants to speak to you about that kingdom. But where are you? And then if you're inside, where would you put yourself? Where would you place yourself in there? Did you do it? What did you do with that? How many put a dot inside the circle? That's pretty good. How many of you put that dot in the middle of the circle, at the center of the circle? How big did you make that dot, that circle, smaller circle inside the bigger circle? Well, the idea, friends, this morning is that the way to represent that is a circle inside the circle that would be as close as possible to the outer circle. In fact, the idea is to have our life become the whole circle. God is working constantly every day. He's loving us, inviting us, conquering us, conquering that kingdom inside our minds, our hearts, our clocks, our wallets. He is expanding that kingdom, and He just wants to have the whole circle. So, we're going to read a passage here this morning in Luke 12. And if you have your Bible, you can open it up. I'll read it. Someone in the crowd, verse 13, said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man," and that I learned in the Greek is the equivalent of dude, slang. In other words, hey, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Jesus always looked at the heart. So he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." That man's problem was not his brother. It was a kingdom problem. And Jesus was very happy to address that, and he told them this parable. Verse 16, "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God.'" Well, as we look at this passage today, we look at a man that really, you wouldn't think there's a huge problem with him. The man was doing a good job. He was using the talent God had given him, and his land was well taken care of. He was a good steward of those resources, and it bore a good crop. What's wrong with that? He was skillful. And then he thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops. He's a wise steward. He said, well, where do I put this stuff now? I have to put it in a safe and dry place. And we have a verse for that, Proverbs 6, if you want to write that down. We're told to go and watch the ant and see what the ant does. And the ant stores and puts things away for winter. What's wrong with that? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. Sounds like a good plan. It's a great project. What's wrong with that? And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, quite frankly, doesn't that sound like a good plan for retirement? Don't we look at people who just won't retire as almost a nuisance, people that we have to get out of the way? They're so greedy, they won't get out of the way to let other people have a job. We respect a person who says, I want to retire, and I just have worked hard, and I'm going to enjoy it. And we smile when we see the bumper sticker of someone who's saying on this big trailer with two cars behind and 20 bicycles on top, I'm spending my kid's fortune. And we laugh. We think that's funny. Sure. Why not? So what's the problem here? Here's how we can correct the problem. Verse 19, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Nothing wrong with that. He's worked hard. Eat. Anybody here who can live without eating? Drink. Nothing wrong with that. Be merry. Should he be depressed here after being so blessed? Should he go around like he's been beat up? No. Also, let's just add one more thing. Take life easy, eat, drink, be merry, and tithe. And we got it. Doesn't this sound like a good life? The American dream? The American Christian dream? Just tithe. That's what was missing. He was keeping everything to himself. He wasn't tithing. Well, it seems to me that it's very obvious that there was one huge problem here, and that is that God was totally outside of the picture. Totally. Uninvolved and uncalled to shed light on this situation, to give wisdom. So, in your notes, you'll see that there's five warnings that we would want to look at today. First, in verse 16, we look at this phrase and say, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Doesn't that sound like a blessing? And the question I ask myself is, what is a blessing? Okay, today is a good day. There's sunshine. We're blessed. Today we got up and had breakfast. We were blessed. Today we got into a good, dependable car, went to work. We're blessed. We got up in a nice home. We're blessed. We have a family. We're blessed. We have children. We're blessed. Are those our blessings? So when someone doesn't have all those things, he can legitimately wake up in the morning and say, I'm not blessed. I've been had. And in fact, I'm keeping a list of all the things that God has not given me because He's blessing that other person. I don't have all those things, so I'm just getting more and more upset by the day. So what is a blessing? Please write this down. I believe blessing is to have God's presence in your life. It's not things. In fact, I would add here that what this man had was not a blessing. In his case, it was a curse. Because everything he had messed him up. He had the wrong perspective on everything he had, and therefore, he just went totally off down the right path, the wrong path. And I would add that in our lives, if we have things, if we're rich to any extent, it's not a blessing necessarily. It may be even a curse if we don't know how to handle it. But thirdly, I believe it is a test. What you have is not necessarily a blessing. What you and I have is a test. God wants us to see what we do and how we respond to the things we have. It's a test. Therefore, if you have much, you're not necessarily blessed. If you don't have much, you are not in the non-blessed category. Well, we have to move pretty quick here, but it's obvious here that when he had that perspective about life, then he went on to verse 17, and he was convinced he had a problem. He had to store all that stuff. There was no room for what God thought about that stuff. He had a problem. That's what was weighing him down. He was all stressed out by that. And what is your stress today? Ask yourself today, what are you worried about? What are you stressed about? Is it about where you're going to put your things and how you're going to store them and how you're going to make them grow? And is that your problem? Because if that's your problem, then verse 18, you're going to have the wrong project. You have a wrong problem in your life, and therefore you're going to have wrong projects. You're going to be working to meet that problem, which is not really your problem. And you're going to follow all kinds of ventures in life to deal with that concern, and you're going to be wasting a lot of time. The other problem in verse 19 is you have plenty of things for a long time. The wrong presumption here was that he had many years. Who's in control of life? Who can tell you that you have provided enough for yourself and your family? Who can tell you how much time you have? And fifth, verse 20, if you have the wrong presumption about having all kinds of time to do whatever you need to do, then you're going to make the wrong provisions for yourself and your family. You're going to be convinced that what really matters in life is to build a business that will give your family a comfortable life. And here come my notes. My wife, give her a hand. Our computer just went berserk, and so all my good notes are here right now. But time's up, so my wife is going to earn another crown in heaven, and that's not a bad thing. But the wrong provision, then, is what this man was trying to do. He was trying to build things for the future. And we may not be so selfish that we're just thinking about ourselves. We might be saying, well, I'm building a business that I can hand on to my children. Well, is that the most important thing? Who says your children will be interested in your business? So So as we look at this today, look at the application and verse 15 and what Christ said about watching out and being on guard, identify the real problem. And then it says against, it's an active thing. It's attacking the problem. And all kinds of greed, it has to do with all kinds of areas. It's not just money, it's your time, it's your relationships, it's everything. What are you greedy about? We'd just like to leave you with two things. One is about the way you make choices in your life. C.S. Lewis, an incredible writer, said once that the world is divided into two groups. The one group who learns to say to God, "Your will be done. Your will be done." And the other group to whom God will say one day, "Your will be done." You decided to leave without me, to live without me on this side of heaven. You will live without me forever. Your will be done. And secondly, let's look at verse 34. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.